Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this last day of November. Tomorrow, of course, is December. Ain't that something? Here comes winter. Yesterday, American Airlines filed for bankruptcy protection, seeking relief from debt that was caused by high fuel prices and expensive labor contracts that competitors did away with quite some time ago. AMR Corporation owns American, and it's the only major U.S. airline company that did not file for bankruptcy protection after the September 11 attacks. The company said this, Mr. Horton, Thomas Horton, the company's chair and chief executive, said, "Our board decided that it was necessary to take this step now to restore the company's profitability, operating flexibility, and financial strength. One of the goals in bankruptcy will be to lower its labor costs, and labor is concerned about this." The president of the pilots union, David Bates, said his members were concerned about what the bankruptcy will mean for them. Other airlines use bankruptcy to terminate pension plans. We're going to look at this whole issue and what it means for people who fly as well. Will there be a cutback in service? Will there be another merger, as there have been quite a few in the past few years? We'll have two guests with us during the course of the hour. We'll be starting with Terry Maxson. Terry is a reporter who's covering the airline industry for the Dallas Morning News. He's worked as a reporter for 36 years, 18 years covering the airline industry. He's worked at the Oklahoma Journal, Dallas Times Herald, and San Jose Mercury News, in addition to more than 23 years at the Dallas Morning News. Later, Seth Kaplan, managing partner of Airline Weekly, will be joining us. And we'll be welcoming your phone calls. I am particularly interested in hearing, assuming you're not flying, from people who are in the airline industry to give us a firsthand observation of what's been happening to you during the past few years since September 11, what's been happening to your pensions, to your pay, what do you see happening to airline transportation for the consumer. We welcome your phone calls. As always, the number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email address is talk@wpr.org, And Terry, thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Tell me why it is that American was the only airline that didn't file for bankruptcy protection after September 11. How did they keep going?
Well, in 2003, early 2003, the employees were given a choice to either the company was going into bankruptcy and they faced an uncertain future about their pay and benefits, or they could voluntarily give a large amount of concessions, about $1.6 billion a year in 2003. And each year after that, if they wanted to stay out of bankruptcy. The pension was a big issue that I think made the unions decide that they wanted to avoid bankruptcy. They kept their pensions. They took significant pay cuts, and that bought America some time. They thought that would save the company, but then subsequently U.S. Airways went into bankruptcy, United Airlines went into bankruptcy, Delta and Northwest both went into bankruptcy, and took even deeper cuts in their cost. When they came out on the other side, they were profitable. I think one of the most alarming barometers for American Airlines is that those companies that went through bankruptcy are now making profits in a very bad time. Very high fuel prices, uncertain economy. They're making hundreds of millions of dollars. American this year is expected to lose close to $1.2 billion.
And how's the morale among those who had to take significant cuts and perhaps lost a good deal of their pensions?
Well, since their contracts have been amendable since 2008, pilots have been in talks for 5 years, flight attendants for 3 years, ground workers for 4 years. And when you're in contract talks, you keep looking for some improvement in your situation. So throughout this negotiating period, morale hasn't been good. There's been the additional factor that the compensation plan for executives had a lot of stock in it. And so they were seeing, back when AMR stock was worth something, executives getting stock when they were getting either 1.5% pay raises or no pay raises, and that was not good for morale. That has had been a rallying cry during negotiations, and so now operating with less income than they had before, smaller benefits that came into negotiations, and the company was saying, we got to keep our costs flat or lower them because all our competitors went through bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So you know, when you go years and years and years and see no improvement in your working conditions and no improvement in your pay, you're facing further cuts. I don't think the employees of American much cared if they were being paid more and had pensions that the other airlines didn't have. Their condition was not improving, and there is no prospect of it improving. So morale was, you might say, not good, and certainly the bankruptcy filing has not improved it.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, give me a clearer picture of what's happened with pensions. Have most of the other airlines terminated pension plans? Will American do the same?
Well, American has not announced what it will do with pensions. I think you can get some idea of what they wanted to do from their negotiating positions. With all the unions, they wanted for the newborns, the new employees hired after the contracts would have been signed, to have no pensions. And instead, they'd be moved to defined contribution plans, 401ks.
Mm-hmm.
They had not proposed either freezing or terminating pensions of existing employees. So over time, it would have lowered their cost as the newer employees' numbers grew and the older employees retired. If they, I would expect American to want to freeze pensions during the Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings, but they have not made any announcement, and I have no clear picture on that right now.
And what about the other airlines? What did they do with pensions when they declared bankruptcy?
Well, the majority of them terminated pensions.
Mm-hmm.
And the PBGC, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, is now handling the pensions of a number of airlines. That took a particular hit on pilots because, as I remember, when U.S. Airways went into bankruptcy and their plan was turned over to the PBGC, the maximum a pension at that time was about $44,000. And pilots before that would have been qualifying for pensions of maybe $100,000 a year or more.
Oh, my.
But because the PBGC cuts your pensions if you retire before age 65, that particularly hit pilots because at that time the mandatory retirement age for pilots was age 60. And so instead of $44,000, a big cut for the pilots, it was going to be around $28,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so... so these pilots, you know, 58, 59 years old, suddenly instead of heading into retirement with a very generous pension, was going to see a very very minimal compared to what they'd worked their entire careers for.
Right. American, recently, I was watching the news yesterday, bought a lot of airplanes that don't use, that are much more fuel efficient. Is that right? How many did they buy, and did they buy too many?
No, it's a very the details of aircraft purchases are not made public, and so we don't know exactly what they paid. But all the indications are that that they got an extremely good deal. The deal was 200 Boeing narrow body jets, the Boeing 737s, and 260 Airbus A320 family. But the first half of those, 100 Boeing, 130 Airbus, American is going to have a very minimal upfront output outlay for that. And I've been told that the terms were very generous. So they will pay them. They will almost pay for themselves through the fuel savings and maintenance savings of having young airplanes. Don't know the real particulars about that, but it was supposedly a very good deal. Those aircraft purchases will continue. They're not, the first half are not actually purchases. They'll just be leased either from the manufacturers or from third-party lessors that that the manufacturers assign those airplanes to. But it's supposed to be a very good deal, and those will continue. They also have options to buy another 465 airplanes. So in the between now and 2025, American will have an all-new fleet, a much more fuel-efficient fleet than its oldest airplanes is now flying.
Mm. We recently had United combining with Continental, Delta combining with Northwest. Will American now be combining with, I don't know, who it might be?
Well, that's the problem. When Delta and Northwest combined, it was the number three and number four airlines merging to create a new number one and pushed American down to two. But then the number three and fours, United and Continental, merged to form the new number one, pushing American down to number three. What's out there in the landscape right now are what you'd consider totally incompatible airlines like Southwest Airlines smaller airplanes more, or airlines more geographically focused like Alaska Airlines and JetBlue Airlines, and the only remaining network carrier of any size that hasn't merged, which is U.S. Airways. I hear U.S. Airways mentioned a lot. I have my doubts that that marriage would be a successful one, but U.S. Airways is a hub-and-spoke airline like American, and its leadership is very desirous of merging with someone, and American's the only date out there hasn't been invited to the prom.
Hmm. And what are the consequences for the flying public with those kinds of mergers? Fewer flights? Any good that comes from it? Are there fewer flights?
The invariably, airlines reduce their operations during a bankruptcy. But if you look at American size, say 10 years ago and today, they are much smaller. You can argue that they've already done the major shrinkage. For states like Wisconsin, where all American flights are hubs, are spokes off of hubs, there's a greater danger than, say, in my home city or home area of Dallas-Fort Worth or in Miami. There's a lot of American last year implemented a new strategy that they call their cornerstone strategy, and they focus on Dallas-Fort Worth, Miami, Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. 98% of their flights either begin or end in those cities, where previously maybe it was only like 7 out of every 8, 5 out of every 6. And the question is whether or not they will maintain the same degree of intensity at cities that aren't their hub, like New York and Los Angeles. All this remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. So what is happening at this point? When a company like this goes into bankruptcy, what's the plan for the next year?
Well, the biggest thing the company does is to reassure the flying public that that things are unchanged. So the logical question everybody has is, what about my frequent flyer miles? What about the flight that I'm taking at Christmas, the one mm-hmm. I want to take at Easter, the one that I'm going to take next summer? And American has worked very hard to reassure them that nothing changes. Whatever you got before, you'll get before, get after. In the old days, say 20, 25 years ago, when an airline was in distress, you quite often saw big fare sales and things and promotions. I don't think you'll see that as in the bankruptcies of the last decade. The airlines just tended to keep on doing what they're doing, and all the action was in the bankruptcy court, not out on the tarmac.
And will they be true to their word that indeed the flight you got for next summer to go to California is still going to be good?
The farther out you go, the more I think we have to ask the question of whether there will be changes.
Mm.
What you might see, and for example, if you're flying out of Chicago or Dallas-Fort Worth, instead of 10 flights from those hubs to a certain city, it might go to 9. And so at some point, the airline will call you back and say, we're going to have to put you on we're putting you on a different flight. I don't... It's a good question, which we can't answer, which is how drastically will they modify their flight schedule. But as far as the airline being in existence, I don't have any questions like that. The old bankruptcies of Pan Am and Eastern, those airlines went into bankruptcy and bled cash over a long period of time, came into it very weakened, and eventually had no operating strategy left to survive. The airlines that went into bankruptcy this past decade, and American Airlines, did have a reason to live. Their franchise had not dissipated over the years. So there will be an American Airlines. The exact shape of it, the exact size of it, will be determined over the next 12 to 18 months.
Mm. Terry, thank you very much for being with us.
It was my pleasure.
Our guest this part of the show, Terry Maxon, who has been working for a number of years covering the airline industry. He is a reporter now for the Dallas Morning News. We'll continue an analysis of what it means for American Airlines to be declaring bankruptcy and welcome your phone calls as well. This will be the time we'll take as many phone calls as we can. The number is 800-486-8655. The email, if you'd like to use that, is talk@wpr.org. Seth Kaplan, managing partner of Airline Weekly, will be joining us momentarily as we continue our conversation this Wednesday on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program this Wednesday, Howard Gardner will be joining us. Howard teaches at Harvard. He's been closely associated with thoughtful observations about education, and he has a very thoughtful book that has just been released, Truth, Beauty, and Goodness Reframed, Educating for the Virtues in the 21st Century, How the Concepts of Truth and Beauty and Goodness May Be Reformulated and Then Nurtured in the Information Age. He is a professor of cognition and education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education and senior director of Harvard Project Zero. He's the recipient of a MacArthur Fellowship and 27 honorary degrees. And one of his more influential books was Multiple Intelligences. Howard Gardner will be joining us. Hour number two of our show. Seth is with us now, and again, I want to remind you that our phone number, and we will take calls here, and particularly interested in hearing from those of you in the airline industry about what's happened to your industry in the past 10 years, 800-486-8655. Hi, Seth. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Yeah. So tell me, did this news come out of nowhere, or did you expect that American was on its way to declaring bankruptcy?
Yeah, well, I think the answer to both of those questions is yes. You know, certainly the fact that they filed for bankruptcy is no surprise. It was pretty widely expected that this could happen at some point. I don't think most of us expected to wake up to that news yesterday morning. You know, they were in a situation where, unfortunately, they weren't terribly competitive in a lot of ways. They were burning cash, and this was likely to happen at some point, but they still did have a lot of cash. So it wasn't like they ran out of money yesterday and were forced to file. Clearly they decided that they were in an unsustainable position, and given that, it was better to do it sooner rather than later and basically stop the bleeding.
Our last guest was talking about how the other airlines have become extremely profitable. How have they made so much money?
Well, they've done some of the things that American is probably going to do now. Most of American's competitors filed for bankruptcy at some point over the past decade, and so they took a lot, particularly from their employees, also from some of their other partners and suppliers. Everybody gave something back, and they basically lowered their cost structures. Now, they've done some other things. You might criticize American's management for being a bit slow to adapt to certain things that have happened in the industry, just the way they structure their network and their schedules. So it's not only a question of cost, but certainly the biggest difference between American and its competitors is that American, in some cases, pays its employees a bit more, but beyond that, it has traditional pension plans that cost it hundreds of millions of dollars a year that many of its competitors don't have anymore because they terminated those plans. Also, just some sort of older style work rules. It doesn't have the same flexibility to schedule its employees in the most efficient way. Again, something that some of its other competitors have. It also can't necessarily fly the kinds of airplanes that it wants in certain kinds of markets. In a smaller city, let's say, we've all seen now these smaller jets, regional jets. American, because of its contract with its pilots, can't fly regional jets essentially with more than 50 seats, whereas most of its competitors, if the right airplane has 70 seats or 90 seats, they can do that. Again, that's in many cases the privilege they got through the bankruptcy process. American didn't have that, and so certainly American will look to get some of those same advantages itself.
Mm-hmm. And what about these pension plans? Can employees find another way to be okay in their retirement? Will there be an automatic deduction for a 401k plan? Or how will employees respond to this? And we can look at this in terms of those airlines that have already declared bankruptcy, what employees are doing, and how employees will respond to what American inevitably will do.
Yeah, and first of all, we don't know exactly what it will do. Some of the other airlines, as they've gone through this process, have handled things a little bit differently. Some have essentially just terminated the plans and dumped them on the government. There's a, it's called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. That's basically a government insurance scheme that provides some of the benefits to employees when their pension plans have been terminated. Some airlines have basically just terminated everything. Some have continued the pensions for certain employees and not for others. First of all, the employees that will be hardest hit if, in fact, American really moves to terminate its pension plans would be the pilots. And that's because the way the government benefits work, they're kind of like unemployment benefits, where you get a percentage of what you were supposed to get. In the case of unemployment benefits, it would be your former salary with pension, what your pension benefit was supposed to be. So you get a percentage of what you're supposed to get up to a certain maximum. Okay, so the pilots are, of course, much more highly paid than most other airline employees. And for them, that maximum is much lower than what they otherwise would have expected. Whereas for a lot of other employees, flight attendants, airport agents, in a lot of cases, those employees at other airlines are getting something close to what they would have expected. The check is basically just coming from a different place, from this government program instead of from their employer. So, first of all, if American acts pretty radically in terms of terminating things, it's probably the pilots who will face the most pain. And then incoming employees would very likely just be, as you said, in a 401k type scheme. But for existing employees who have accrued some benefits but haven't yet retired, it's hard to say, but certainly they should be thinking in terms of not getting exactly what they once planned on. One way or another, they will take a hit, and like a lot of other people, just kind of have to manage retirement more on their own.
Yeah.
That's just what's been happening in this country for decades now, and it's happening in the airline industry.
Seth, did American have the reputation among pilots as being one of the best companies to work for, best benefits, best working conditions?
Yeah, well, it did at one time, and in a lot of ways, it's still been a really good place to work. What happens? It's whenever somebody has something taken away from them, they're obviously not going to be happy. So when you hear pilots at American Airlines in some cases, complain about the way things have been the past bunch of years, they did make a lot of concessions back in the early part of the last decade after 9/11 to keep the company out of bankruptcy at that point. And so from their perspective, they already gave a lot back. Now, in many cases, they're still better off than pilots at other airlines. But you can imagine if somebody's working at, let's say, a low-cost carrier and started off earning very little and has gotten nothing but raises over the years, that person might be happy, even though they're still worse off than a pilot at American Airlines, whereas a pilot at American who was used to certain pay and certain working conditions and has made some concessions isn't going to be happy, even if they're still better off. That's just human nature.
Right. Right.
So pilots have been frustrated in recent years. They think that management is very highly compensated and hasn't done some of the other things that it can do to restructure the airline that don't involve taking things from employees. That's really their perspective.
Are they right?
Well, they're right about some of it. You can make some legitimate criticisms of management. First of all, they're correct that the CEO, who's now left, Gerard Arpey, was pretty well compensated for somebody who was running a company that wasn't making money. He earned more than CEOs at other airlines that are more successful in recent years. So that's true. Now, having said that, $1 million here or there for the CEO, right or wrong, that doesn't make the difference when you're talking about a company with many billions of dollars in revenue each year. Whereas when you have many thousands of pilots who are compensated more, again talking total compensation, counting all the pensions and so forth, compensated a lot more than its competitors, that does make the difference. So symbolically, that might not have been the right thing for Americans to do, but executive compensation probably isn't the biggest problem at that company. They've been slow to adapt in some other ways. There are some things with their network where some of their competitors, as oil prices were rising starting several years ago, airlines like Delta and United really took the time to say, oil's expensive, that's bad for us, but where can we go with our airplanes to at least benefit from that? Let's fly to places in the world, in the Middle East and so forth, where people have become wealthy because of the high oil prices, and get some of the revenue benefit to offset the cost. And so, things like that, where they've been more creative about their networks, for example, than maybe American has been. So there are legitimate criticisms. You can certainly say there are things management could have done that other than taking from employees. Having said that, when you look at American, really, and why it's unprofitable and why Delta and United are quite profitable now, definitely one, the biggest difference is the labor cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was probably going to come to this one way or another.
We go to phone calls. Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're talking about the parent company to American Airlines filing for bankruptcy yesterday and what's been happening with the airline industry since September 11. Our guest this part of the program is the managing partner for Airline Weekly, Seth Kaplan. And lines are open for you. We'll tell you that we will take both emails and telephone calls as we talk here. We go to Kayvon, who's on the road. Hi, Kayvon.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, how are you?
Great show, by the way. I guess my question is, is AMR Corporation that obviously declared bankruptcy, and within that there's a lot of discussion about American Airlines, but I guess my question is, what about the regional affiliate? American Eagle is still owned by AMR, while other major airlines have sold off or outsourced their regional operations that are just expanding. Then again, you have some Navi Comair, PSA that are still owned by the large major affiliate. What do you see happening with American Eagle and the regional network, and how will it affect passengers, and what role did that play in possibly helping avoid bankruptcy for this long, keeping American Eagle within AMR? Did it help push it over the edge?
Well, Kayvon, no, that's a great point. American at this point is fairly unique in that, you know, as you noted, most of its regional feed is provided by this wholly owned subsidiary, American Eagle. And American for years now has seen that, you know, really as more of a problem than a benefit. You know, basically their regional feed just costs them more than other airlines. And, you know, regional flying in particular is probably the most commoditized part of a very commoditized industry, you know, where if you're paying just a little bit more for that, you're at a real disadvantage. You know, I mentioned before the inflexibility that American has in terms of the size of those regional aircraft that it can use. You know, basically it can only go up to 50 seats, and it's because of what's called the scope clause in the pilot contract, where essentially any aircraft larger than 50 seats would have to be flown by a mainline American Airlines pilot, and you know that just wouldn't be efficient to pay somebody that kind of salary to fly an aircraft where, you know, you're only carrying, let's say, 70 passengers or so. So you know that's one challenge, which is somewhat separate from the issue of the ownership of American Eagle. But Eagle itself, you know, its employees are, like at American Airlines itself, you know, relatively well compensated. Now, American has been looking at trying to sell American Eagle. You know, maybe give it the ability, for example, to compete for regional business from other airlines. But at this point, AMR Corp did include Eagle in the bankruptcy. You know, and that pretty much indicates that they didn't like their chances just in sort of the current overall market environment, just the way things are in the world. You know, the challenges with trying to do, let's say, an IPO or to get financing for anything, of being able to successfully sell that airline and make it competitive. You know, because in the end, its costs are pretty high. And, you know, the idea of Delta or United or somebody else contracting with Eagle under its current cost structure is probably a pretty remote possibility. Mm. You know, going forward, that's going to be a major part of how American restructures, is what it does with its regional network. It will certainly look for some more flexibility regarding, you know, as they said, scope. The ability to fly some larger regional aircraft in an efficient way, you know, paying people something that's commensurate to the size of the airplane, basically, to the benefit that they're getting from the revenue of that number of passengers on the plane. You know, how exactly it'll achieve that, you know, whether it ends up going out to other regional airlines, as you mentioned, the independent regional airlines that partner with various airlines, or whether it tries to do that more through restructuring Eagle along with restructuring American, you know, remains to be seen. But that'll definitely be a big piece of the equation.
Thanks, Kevin, for the call. We go to Phil in McHenry, Illinois. Hi, Phil.
Good morning. I got a quick question for you. I was watching, I think it was CNBC yesterday or late last night, and John DeJarian was on, the investment guy, and he usually has some pretty good guesses. And they asked him if he was surprised that American went broke, and he said that, "I talked to a lot of the pilots and a lot of the stewardesses, and I fly American all the time," and he said, "I have been hearing for months, any day we're going to go broke." Wanted to know what his thoughts were on that.
Yeah, it was, a lot of people saw this as inevitable. The fact that it happened as soon as it did is not something that everybody necessarily expected, because American has a pretty nice pile of cash right now. It has several billion dollars. So it's not the same, you know, sometimes when a company files for bankruptcy protection, you know, it's just out of money, and it needs to do that right then. In American's case, it wasn't out of money. It had a lot of cash, but it was burning through that cash at an alarming rate. And, you know, probably part of its decision to file now, one part is that if it saw that as inevitable, if it said this is going to happen sooner or later, well, then it's better to stop the bleeding sooner rather than later. In addition to that, again, this now in a different context, I mentioned a few minutes ago just the situation in the world and, you know, very tight credit markets. Well, with this too, you know, when you go into bankruptcy, a lot of times if you don't have very much cash, you need financing to get you through the restructuring process. And that's what most other airlines did when they filed for bankruptcy a number of years back. They went out and got that financing. Well, right now it's pretty hard for even somebody with a good credit profile to get financing for almost anything. And so you know, American probably you know, said, well, if that's the case, then it's certainly not going to be easy for a bankrupt airline to get that kind of financing. It might be very expensive financing, and I mean, we're talking, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars just spent on that transaction. And so they seem to have decided, you know what, while we still have this cash, let's use that cash to get us through. And they are financing this restructuring with their own cash pile, you know, which again, you know, might be the most productive thing to do with that money. So, you know, I think the short answer is you're certainly right. No surprise that they filed. You know, although it wasn't a foregone conclusion that it was going to happen yesterday rather than in the coming weeks, months, or even next year.
We have quite a few emails. Some have the same theme of this is a squeezing of labor. Let me take one that encompasses many of the emails that we have from Mark in Delafield. American and its unions have been in federal mediation for years with its pilots and flight attendants. The pay for its flight attendants and pilots is much less than what the pilots and flight attendants of Southwest Airlines make. Their assets and their debt are about the same. They have over $4 billion in cash. Isn't this just the way American corporations can dump their pensions through bankruptcy?
Well, you know, the American's management, you know, one thing you really have to give them a lot of credit for was that they did everything they could to keep the company out of bankruptcy in a lot of ways. I mean, they were ready to file back in 2003, and they worked with all of their stakeholders, certainly their employees and a lot of their other suppliers, to try to keep the company out of bankruptcy. They did that then. They've been trying to do that again now. And, you know, but again, they're just burning cash. You know, when people say, well, the folks at Southwest make more money, yeah, their rates, their pay rates are higher. I mean, that's definitely true. But the bottom line is that the labor costs at Southwest are lower, and that's because they're, you know, first of all, they don't have traditional pensions. You know, they have 401ks. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And their employees are very productive. You know, Southwest has a lot of flexibility to schedule people, for example, in a way that most benefits the company. And so when you add all that up, labor costs are not just what is a pilot or what is a flight attendant get paid for flying each hour. It's all of those other things. And if you are not able to schedule somebody to work when you need them to work, that's costly too. If you have to hire another employee to, you know, for example, to work that shift. So it's true that the rates themselves aren't the highest in the industry, but the total labor costs are. And it's unfortunate because these are hardworking people who have, you know, been through a lot, given up a lot. And it's just the nature of this industry where it's just so hyper competitive that when your costs are a little bit higher than everybody else's, and you can only charge the same fares as everybody else because it's a very competitive marketplace, you're at a real disadvantage.
Seth Kaplan, managing partner of Airline Weekly, is with us this hour on the Ideas Network to explain American Airlines, the parent company, to the airline filing for bankruptcy on Tuesday, what it means, why it's happening, what it means for people who fly, and what it means for the future of Americans and the airline industry. We have a couple lines open if you'd like to join us. 800-486-8655 is our number. The email is talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Howard Gardner with us following the news. He has a new book, Truth, Beauty, and Goodness Reframed, Educating for the Virtues in the 21st Century. He, of course, has written many, many books. He is very well known for his multiple intelligences ideas. All right, let's go back to phone calls. Bill in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, Bill. How are you?
Good.
Good.
You forgot the taxpayer who's involved here in that pension plan. Most of these airlines all have had to go to the government, the guaranteed pension plan, and because their pension plans were underfunded. American will probably cost the taxpayers between $7 and $10 billion, but nobody ever looks at that size of it. I'd like a comment from your guest.
From Seth. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. You know, of course, it's not just airlines. I mean, that's true of any company in this situation with large pension obligations that does dump them on the government. Now, you know, remember that these companies have paid essentially insurance premiums into this fund. So it's not quite accurate to say that all of the money is coming out of taxpayers' pockets. And that's much in the same way. It works a lot. I mentioned before unemployment insurance, same thing where employers pay into the unemployment fund, and then, you know, those benefits come from that. Now, having said that, because of everything that's happened over the past several years, not just the airline industry, the auto industry, and other people who have had to tap the pension fund, the benefits that are being paid out do surpass the premiums that have come in recently, and you know, certainly there's a risk that that taxpayers also are going to foot part of the bill.
His number on target $7 to $10 billion? The taxpayers.
I don't know. I'm not sure where he read that, and I would just want to, you know, look at the numbers and see the source and everything more carefully.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, that's it could be a lot of money, but it's just not to say that this is all coming straight from taxpayers' pockets. You know, American and other employers have paid into the fund for many years to support it. It's supposed to sustain itself, but yes, now we are in a situation where we're a lot of companies have had to tap it, and you know, the money has to come from somewhere, definitely.
Chris in Appleton, hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I'd like your. I wonder if your guest would care to address the level of funding that corporations have been allowed to provide to their pension plans. I am a pilot, not for American, but for another large major airline, which has found itself falling on hard times. My pension has been frozen. I will receive about 50% of my expectations, which puts me ahead of United and U.S. Air and a number of others who have lost theirs completely. But when the rules governing pension contributions were set up decades ago, corporate America was able to persuade the Congress that funding based on an interest rate of 10% growth was a reasonable expectation. This is the principal reason why all of the pension plans across America are ending up underfunded. And as the companies find themselves in ultimate financial difficulty, it's the first place they can turn, point to, and say, look at this. Greedy labor has once again picked their pocket. Courts, please allow us to just forget about this debt and move forward. Any observations?
Yeah, it's there are airlines, as you mentioned, you know, Delta being one that froze, didn't terminate. Here's the dilemma. That's absolutely true that airlines were basically allowed to use different assumptions when coming up with how much money they had to contribute into the fund,
and that those assumptions.
I'm sorry.
I do not believe it is just airlines. It's all corporations.
Right. Exactly. Corporations. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Here's the dilemma, though. You know, part of the motivation for allowing that was to try to save the funds. You know, because you know, we've seen what's happened where companies have just moved entirely away from defined benefit pensions. So, you know, on one hand, yeah, we see now that those assumptions were pretty unrealistic, especially with what's happened with equity markets and, you know, other things that these funds are invested in. But on the other hand, had those rules not been changed, then we might have had more companies just moving to terminate their plans, saying, look, there's no way we can make those contributions. You know, so whereas they hung on to them a little bit longer, saying, okay, well, at this reduced level, yeah, we can try to do this. So you're right. But what we don't know is, had the rules not been changed, if more of the pensions just would have gone away more quickly.
Well, you say we don't know what we don't know, and that's obviously true. However, by the same token, the assumptions that were made at that time were clearly unrealistic. Anyone looking back over the history of the stock market could have predicted this disaster, but unfortunately, these were endorsed by the Congress and by the Senate.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. You know, well, we certainly know now that they were there. It was all unrealistic, and you're right. Even at the time, you know, there were people who said, you know, you can't count on those kinds of returns. That, you know, basically, this is not actuarially sound. I mean, there were people saying that even then. You know, when you're looking though at the best of bad options, you know, I think that was part of the thought was, look, if we don't do this, then these plans will just go away anyway. So doing this, you know, maybe gives them a fighting chance. It's just a choice between evils, certainly it didn't set the funds up for long term health. That's now clear.
Thanks, Chris, for the call. An email from Linda in Salem. My husband is an American Airlines pilot. Please ask the guest about the American top-heavy management. There are hundreds of vice presidents down to supervisors for very small numbers of employees. My husband believes that American could easily cut management by about one-third. Instead, he expects cuts of line employees, more squeezing of labor, followed by huge employee bonuses. My husband expects this bankruptcy to be used as a management tool to reallocate assets from line employees to management.
Yeah, I mentioned before that is a legitimate criticism that employees have. You know, CEO pay, for example, executive pay at American Airlines, folks are fairly well at the very top anyway compensated relative to the airline's financial performance. The reality is that there are just far more line employees than management employees. So unfortunately, you know, it might not be fair, but you know what the airline ends up doing with the pay, with the total compensation for non-management employees, it's just going to have a much bigger impact on its overall cost structure. When you talk about, slashing management by a third, you know, in that case, you're talking about, hundreds of people. Depending on what you classify as management, I'm saying literally management at headquarters. Obviously, you have supervisors and so forth out at airport stations. Whereas when you're talking about line employees, you're talking about many tens of thousands of employees. So I would say, on one hand, it's fair to criticize, and we'll see what happens. And I would expect that management would also, be shouldering some of the burden. I mean, that's what happens. That's what has happened in some of the other airline bankruptcies.
How do they shoulder the burden? What are they doing?
Pay concessions and job cuts as well. Mm. We'll see what happens here, but I would certainly expect that would be a part of it. It's just unfortunately the airline industry being a very labor intensive industry relative to most others. You're still, even at an airline, if you want to criticize it as being management heavy, you're still talking about just a huge workforce of line employees relative to management, relative to just the size of the company. You know, airlines just have far more employees producing less revenue than companies in other industries. So it's kind of like, on one hand, yes, you know, that can be a fair criticism, but on the other hand, whatever they do with management just doesn't solve as much of the problem as, you know, in terms of the cost structure, as whatever they do with line employees, because there are just far more line employees.
Mm-hmm. We have about 45 seconds left, so let's just try and get this question in quickly. Andy on the road. Hi.
Hi, yes. My brother-in-law is a pilot for Delta, makes well over $100,000 a year, and flies a maximum of 14 days a month, and a lot of months doesn't even fly that. I just don't understand how the airlines can pay that kind of money for that kind of productivity and expect to be profitable.
Yeah. Well, that's the gap between, you know, from the perspective of some of these pilots, how things are now is far worse than it used to be. Certainly from the perspective of a lot of other people who earn a lot less money and work in worse conditions, you know, they say, well, that's a pretty good deal. You know, pilots do a very important job.
You can say that again. Right.
Yeah.
Better make sure they're good.
You know, I want the folks you know, flying me to be taken care of.
Yeah, and on that note, we have to say goodbye. Seth, thanks very much for being with us. Seth Kaplan, managing partner for Airline Weekly, our guest. And thanks also to Terry Maxson from the Dallas Morning News, looking at American Airlines, the parent company, filing bankruptcy yesterday. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. Thanks to Chrissy Pease for on-air production in our downtown Milwaukee studios. We will continue with Howard Gardner, the second hour of our show.